Forward. All right, it is 7 o'clock and it's time for us to get into Musel Talk. And as I told you, tonight I'm going to be talking to the guys from Lochinvar.
Heart FM.
It's time for Musel Talk on In The Mix, brought to you by Sampra, Africa's leading needle time rights organization. Send your questions via voice note to 082-222-1049.
All right, I've got on the line Brian and Andrew from Lochinvar. Brian and Andrew, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, what's up, man?
All right.
Very, very good. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. The beauty of technology, I got both of you on the line, but I don't think you're at the same place.
No.
Anyway, let's not get into that. For those people that are that have tuned in for the first time that have never heard Musel Talk, Musel Talk is basically a platform where we talk about all things music, and it is made possible by the South African Music Performance Rights Association, shortly or known as SAMPRA. You guys, as Lochinvar. Before I go into your association with SAMPRA, let me first help those people that just got off the spaceship that were abducted 15 years ago, and they just came back to planet Earth, and they don't know what Lochinvar is. They're like, what is that? Is that a group? Is that a movie? Who is Lochinvar? I think Brian will have to answer that one.
Okay, cool. Yeah, well, I mean, basically, Lochinvar is a duo. For those who don't know, we do music production, we do songwriting, we're performing artists as well. It's something that we started back when we were about 15, probably around 15, 16, and we were making music, recording various albums kind of by ourselves. And then after we graduated high school, even a little bit before, we realized that we wanted to take it very seriously. And then we just started recording music and sending it off to every radio station who would listen to us, and then just kept working at it. But I mean, basically, for those who don't know, yeah, we're a performing group and we produce the best music.
And Andrew, tell me something. How did it get to become like a business? Like, when did you start thinking about it? Because you said you started doing this when you were teenagers. When was the moment when you were like, okay, this is about money now?
Look, I think from the very beginning, we both knew it was about money. I mean, like, inevitably in this world that we live in, you do need money to do things. So yeah. As soon as we sort of realized that and that we could make money out of doing what we loved, it was really just delving into what we can do to make money out of what we love. And I guess we'll hop a bit on about that with SAMPRA, because that's one of the things that you make money off in this game.
Okay, I'm happy that you mentioned that. Now, Brian, tell me something. How has being a member of SAMPRA helped you as a band?
Look, I mean, I think it helps from a huge perspective of just collecting rights that are out there that a lot of artists may not necessarily even be aware of.
Wow.
Because you make a little bit of money every time a song is played on radio, every time it's broadcast on TV, every time it's even played in a club or in any public arena.
Yes.
And there's rights attached to that, and there's money attached to that, and a lot of people aren't even aware of that or don't know how to collect it. Being a member of SAMPRA, and as well as, you know, SAMRA and other organizations like that, it just helps to kind of put that money into a funnel and actually be able to track it and to make sure that it goes to the relevant copyright holders who own that intellectual property.
And do you guys have any music that is played overseas?
Yes, of course. Especially sort of in the streaming game, we've actually found that the majority of our stuff is played overseas. And so, you know, we have to have people tracking that. And, you know, SAMPRA is, you know, part of a global organization called SCAPA, which is a Belgian-based company. But yeah, basically, they're tied into an international network that basically makes sure that they take care of everybody's rights. And that's why we're part of it. And anyone who's in this game should be a part of it.
All right. Brian. Where's Brian?
Yeah.
Okay. Brian, tell me something. How did you guys manage to get your music played overseas?
You know, there isn't really one finite way, at least that I'm aware of. Basically, what we've done is we've obviously got all of the music on the relevant streaming platforms. And then it's really about building relationships, you know, whether it be in person or over social media or something like that. That's basically been the biggest thing for us, is once we build relationships with people, build a network, send the music out to people, and if they enjoy it, then they start playing it. And you know, for us doing collaborations with people in the States and collaborations with people in Holland, that's been absolutely instrumental in actually getting the music played overseas.
Wow.
So for me, I would say, yeah, you know, it's big time about network and collaboration.
All right. I'm talking to Brian and Andrew from Lochinvill. This is Muse Talk, made possible by Heart FM and the South African Music Performance Rights Association. Lochinvill is one of the most successful bands or groups to come out of the mother city, right, Andrew?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. Yeah.
I say so.
And the way I like to describe it is DJ duo that sing as well. I think that it's a much better way to describe what we do.
Exactly, because I was going to get into that, you know, to just describe Lochinvill and what a person might see when they see you guys perform. Because you're both DJs, you know, and you also make your own music. So you get to play your own music. Now, Andrew, tell me something. What lessons have you guys learned as performers over the years, you know, lessons that you would like to share with people who are already in the industry or people who would like to enter the industry?
Well, I mean, I suppose it really depends what you're going for. I know that for us, one of the big things was really making what we do travelable, like portable, so that
okay.
we can, you know, move around as much as possible and not. You know, be carrying too much stuff and all of that. So it took us a long time to sort of get into a space where we felt comfortable with what we were doing, as well as the point that it was portable and effective in the way that we wanted it to be. So it really just takes practice. It's that age-old thing, practice makes perfect.
Wow. That's truly amazing. You know, how do you, Brian, how do you maintain relevance, especially in a space such as the music industry where performances, you know, or the way people consume music changes all the time? How do you maintain relevance, Brian?
Yeah, you know, it's a very good question, and I'm not sure that there's one answer. I think there's a few, but I mean, basically, I think the most important thing that's really worked for us is one thing is, you know, because we're producers, we can kind of mold the music. And I don't want to say mold it to whatever's current, but, you know, we can change things and adapt to each different phase of the music scene and sort of keep our own flavor on it. But in the most realest thing, just keeping real and true to yourself, and it almost sounds like an overplayed thing to say, but you know, people, I think that the market buying the music is a lot more intelligent than a lot of people give them credit for, and they can see through something if it's phony.
Yes.
So I think, you know, remaining true to yourself, because as long as you're having fun and you're doing what remains true to you, you're always going to be relevant to a certain market of people. And basically that's the thing. I think that there's always a market for everything in the world.
That is so amazing. And I'm sitting here going like, it is true what my mentor told me, the late DJ Slender, when he was teaching me to mix. He told me that. He said, if it doesn't hit you, what you're doing must first hit you. Don't worry about the crowd. If they're not dancing, it doesn't matter. As long as you're having fun.
Yeah, it's true. And a lot of people will relate to that.
Yeah. All right. Now I wanna talk about, you know, how to get your music out there. Because as part of Muse Talk, we're trying to help people who are trying to get into the music industry or people who are already in the industry but are not quite sure on how to go. What advice would you give to someone who has done their music, they've got their studio at home, in their garage, in their bedroom, and they've got all this music mixed, mastered, everything, but they don't know how to put it out? What advice would you give them? Any of you guys can answer that.
I think the main thing, especially the way that it's done now, you know, even 10 years ago, my answer would be different. But nowadays, it really is just about getting people to hear you. You know, if you want to get it on streaming platforms like Spotify and iTunes and Apple Music and all of that, it's a very good idea to go through an aggregator to make the whole process sort of easy and smooth.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it independently, but it can be a bit more complicated. But there's also other free streaming services like YouTube and SoundCloud and AudioMac and all of those. And I think the most important thing these days is really just getting your stuff out there, because when you can get a fan base, then you can start making money off it.
All right.
And if I can just jump in on that as well, I think one of the most important things, especially if you're going to get the music out on streaming platforms like the leading ones like Apple Music and Spotify, It's very, very important to, like I was saying earlier, you know, make networks and collaborations and just, you know, friends and stuff who can help get your music into the right playlist. And there's actually companies that can help you do it if you're independent.
Right.
But getting onto those playlists is instrumental in getting your music heard by an entire different market.
And now, as I wrap it up, how, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important is Sampra?
10. Yeah, I would say 10. Any source of revenue in any business is a 10 importance.
That's so true. And you find that, you know, working with the people from Sampra is quite easy. You know, you're not having any things that you think that can be improved in terms of the way that you relate with Sampra?
Look, I mean, I think there can always be a little bit of improvement on the tracking of certain monies, but that's only just because of the vastness of the entire industry.
Yeah.
But you know, our relationship with Sampra has been extremely amazing. They're always very attentive, and also feels very personal. You know, if you want to get on the phone with someone, someone's always there to talk to you, and they're always there to guide you through a process if you're not too sure about it. So it's been absolutely brilliant, and I really think, you know, anybody in the music industry really needs to be a member of Sampra.
Couldn't have said it better myself, yeah.
All right. Andrew and Brian from Lockenville, thank you so much. I'm going to play a song of yours titled Cold Shoulder. That's actually my favorite song from Lockenville.
I appreciate it, man.
So I was like, you know what, I'm going to play Cold Shoulder. And I have to admit, I haven't played Cold Shoulder, I think, in over a month or 2 months. That's a long time.
It is a long time, but at least you're making up for it now.
Yeah. I need to make up for that. So I think I'm going to play a whole lot more. But thank you so much, guys. And thank you so much for the music. And thank you for flying our flag high overseas. You know, you guys make us very proud to be South African because you make beautiful music. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Have a good night.
You too. All right. That was Andrew and Brian from Lockenville as part of our Music Talk brought to you by Heart FM and the South African Music Performance Rights Association.
Sampra, Africa's leading needle time rights organization. No, not that needle time. It's the needle time that belongs to record labels and recording artists. Being a Sampra member ensures that you receive your royalties for your commercially released recorded music. And people of the land, you need a Sampra license to broadcast and play music in your businesses. So own the jam, share the jam, and get what you deserve for producing the jam. To learn why you need to become a member and how to get a license, visit sampra.org.za. Heart FM.